Hey there, guys and girls, geeks and gamers, you're listening to the Nerd of Godcast, the place on the Venn diagram of life where Christ culture and nerd culture come together for a sweet, sweet two-player co-op.
It's guys and gals, Andrew. It's guys and gals. Get it right or pay the price. What's up, everybody? Welcome to your Nerdy Godcast. My name is Tony T, and we're going to have a great time tonight celebrating all of the things that make our fandom flags fly and our faith feelings flutter. That's right, but I'm not going to be doing it by myself. He is the very best at being the very worst, the Raging Cajun of the King Under the Mountain. With me, as always, it's Steve-O Supremo.
What's going on, everybody?
What happened to the cheese bags?
Cheese, that's how I say goodbye, sir.
Been saying that so much lately.
Stay fresh, cheese.
Yes, so much. Well, it's ridiculous.
Are you trying to tell Steven to leave?
Yes.
Are you telling me that I'm a cheese bag and he's stay fresh?
You're replacing Steven.
Cheese bag?
He's been trying to replace me for almost 9 full seasons.
Steven is irreplaceable. In fact, it's the opposite. Steven's waiting for me to die so he can replace me.
Mini Steven.
She is amazing. She's the goat, and she's come to learn or watch it burn. She's Charlotte the intern.
That do be me.
That do be her, because Mama says sometimes it just bees that way.
Are you sure about that?
It just bees that way.
She's a punk. What was that?
It just bees that way.
Speaking of bees.
Bees?
Here's someone who's sweeter than honey.
Oh.
And looks good in stripes. He is often imitated, never duplicated. It's the big man, Quentin Gregory Neff.
I was so confused with where you're going. And I was that disappointed
That's
by the end.
Keeping him guessing. She is sassy, always classy. She ain't freaking here. She is salty, she is sweet, and she's conveniently pocket-sized. Your winner to the magic, it's Jackie freaking Wilson.
Our intro is a little similar.
It's a little similar.
She ain't even here.
I will say.
Very good.
She is freaking here.
But hey, howdy, hey.
Hey, you got an advantage there. She's a punk rock pirate, weary world traveler, your friend and mine, Alexandria Marika.
Hey, friends.
Hey, girly.
Hey,
girl. Hey.
Hi, Barbie.
Hey, guys.
Too much femininity happening here. Speaking of femininity, he is the most masculine guy you'll ever want to meet, especially if you're on the wrong side of a PvP match with him. It's Jamaican Ali Wagwan Mi Rasta.
Yaman.
Everything good?
Yeah, pretty good, yeah.
Pretty and good.
And if over, it's me.
So over, masculine.
Over he's just dripping testosterone.
Yeah, Oliver, he's just tore his shirt open. Now he's eating raw meat while changing a carburetor. Over in the booth, pushing all the buttons that keep this bucket of bolts flying, he's our own resident smart guy, Nick the Engineer.
Hello.
Nick Sadler made 100% of Legos, I found out, actually. He is...
I wish.
He is
actually just created them.
He's
Mr. Lego. His actual last name.
He's actually One Piece, though. That's the crazy thing.
Nick is the special.
Nick is the One Piece.
I'm just a really big minifigure.
I didn't know it until I looked and saw the Craggle was attached to his back. So,
he is the one. He is the Lego.
Guys,
I saw a red Cybertruck today, and I immediately thought to myself, it looks like somebody built that out of Legos.
Wait, they come in red?
I think somebody bought it and had it wrapped.
Okay.
But it was
it looks
bright
like test
red.
So that's
it
doubly wasted money.
It looks like Polygon. It looks like a Nintendo 64 rendered like space truck.
Right. It's like a Generation 1 test track car.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like them.
Nope,
I got to say,
it.
I had
like them. Set it on fire.
I had a Cybertruck experience the other day that was unlike any other. I was driving in a Lowe's parking lot. It specifically needs to be.
Please tell me there was a bunch of wood coming out of the back of it.
No, but there was a Cybertruck. It didn't happen just the other day. It happened like 2 days after the Cybertrucks were released. And I saw a Cybertruck there. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And then the door opens and the gentleman that owned the Cybertruck hopped out the car. What would you, just based on your first instinct, how would you describe what you would think somebody coming out of the car would
a
look
finance
like?
Bro.
I feel like we're about to get into like profiling here.
No,
and
no,
this
no.
Feels
well,
wrong.
Yes, when it comes to Cybertrucks, you profile. But just just let me know what you think of somebody, what you
well,
expect
just
them to
how
look
about
like.
You just go on? Because I don't really want to be on record saying that. So
I expected like maybe somebody like, in their like early to mid 20s, somebody who maybe
please
their parents have
young
a lot of
and
money,
also
somebody
hip.
Who made a lot of money. The gentleman that got out of this car would look like Bernie Sanders.
God bless.
If he let his hair grow out longer, he was very old, had a plaid shirt, I love very dark jeans.
What a guy.
Held up by bright red suspenders. And not the suspenders that like just like kind of like you like clip on. They were like buckled into his pants.
This man is living
pants.
His life.
And oh I was just like, I don't know what you did to earn that Cybertruck, but I'm glad that you
so
have
so proud
it.
Of him.
Redneck Bernie Sanders was not on my bingo card.
Exactly. It wasn't on my bingo card either, and I almost had to stop the car because I was so jarred by the I would never would have expected.
Is this the multiverse?
This feels beautiful. Offensive, and I want to know who's going to write an angry comment to the podcast about that. That's what I want.
It's going
to
be
I say with
Bernie
all
Sanders.
The love in my heart. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm now asking for a small loan.
I need all of our aged suspender-wearing Cybertruck owners out there to rise up and say, Steven, never again.
No one, and make sure you donate to the Nerdicon Squad.
Yes, I'm now asking you for your financial support.
Nobody who drives a Cybertruck listens to our podcast.
Wait, hold on.
Don't speak that over us.
We come built in all Elon Musk's.
The Cybertruck is based off of the Blade Runner design, I believe, right?
Sure.
Still looks dumb.
If anyone who designs that and names his son the way he named his son, I'm a little concerned.
Anyway, what do you have for us, Tony?
You know what? I don't know. Steven has hijacked us with...
we were doing intros, right?
Anti-Elon Musk propaganda or anti-suspender. Like, what's... Sometimes...
Anti-Bernie
Sanders? Sometimes
like, really
you don't
sure.
want your pants to fall down and you want to
no,
do it in a snazzy way.
Wrong.
Do you have a problem with Mork from Ork? He wore nice suspenders, too.
Steven was suspended too much in school, so he doesn't like the thought
sensitive
of that.
I was
word.
Always suspended twice, sir.
So one for each shoulder.
Yeah.
It's the trauma.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know where what
that's
you.
It. That's the podcast, everyone.
That's it. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us today. We ain't gotta go home.
But we can't stay here.
Alexandria bought him a Cybertruck, it's her fault.
It's not my fault.
That one was ADHD rabbit trail. You need more Adderall, sir.
We've been at this too long. It's starting to wear off. Well, good. We're gonna open this thing up with a real quick question of if we were
a Cybertruck.
If you were a Cybertruck, what color Cybertruck would you be?
I'd be a redneck person.
Oh gosh!
I'm sorry. I am unmedicated.
Okay, everyone, take a deep breath. Calm down.
I can't.
It was the squeak for me.
So sorry, Tony. I
That's
love
okay.
You.
No, we lost Jackie. It's all right. We love
She's
you.
She's just trying to make sure she doesn't play this game.
Yeah. All right. If you were a bad guy. A supervillain, some kind of an evil character. What evil character would you be if you were an evil character? Neff?
Like what kind or which specific?
What evil character would you be if you were an evil character, Neff?
That is tough.
What character describes your particular brand of evil?
Kind of like Mr. Mixie Spitlick.
That's easy for you to say.
Who the heck is
because,
that?
Because nobody can say Neff's name backwards.
Exactly. Or else
Fen?
Or I disappear.
Yeah. Mr. McSpitalik is a creature from the...
Fifth dimension.
The fifth dimension. He's a Superman villain. He kind of looks like Lucky the Leprechaun, but in purple. And he creates all
paints
kinds of...
a very vivid picture.
Mischief and mayhem. But if you trick him into saying his name backwards, he has to go back to the dimension from which he came.
Not to be confused with Batmite, who is also from the fifth dimension.
Who is also a villain because he's terrible.
Yeah,
Neff just hates Batmite. Him.
All right, Mr. McSpitalik, it is. Ollie, if you were a villain, what would you be?
I don't know. That's hard. I'm like so Disney, so super good guy.
Gaston?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Typical answer for an alpha male like you.
Testosterone all over that.
All of us are very good at expectorating.
And every last inch of
thing to say right there.
Oliver's writing a book, What to Expect When You're Expectorating.
I don't know. Shall
we come back to you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Steven.
I'll be Steve-O from the Nerd of Godcast.
That's it.
I'm already the villain.
They don't come any more deplorable. Alexandria?
Is Taylor Swift an acceptable answer?
I don't think so.
I mean,
kidding.
I listened to her newest album,
I'm
so kind of, yeah.
That was pretty good.
I don't know if you would really consider him a villain so much as an anti-hero, but Bakugo from My Hero.
Okay.
Because he's super hot-headed, and pre-Jesus Drea was hot-headed, and she would go for the throat.
I've met post-Jesus Drea, and I know that there's sometimes there's a little to it.
I sometimes revert.
A little
revert
back.
That was a good, like, ignite.
You like
the
that?
Flame
yeah,
sound. That was
yeah.
good.
I was just clearing my throat, but it worked out that way.
A little.
Jackie freaking Wilson.
That's the sound of my lighter makes all the time.
Sorry.
Oh, ah.
You should get a new lighter, dude.
Down with
what
the
you got,
sister.
Jackie? What you got?
Honestly, I can't think of one that I would be, but the first villain that popped into my head was Yzma.
Oh.
Queen.
Oh, yeah.
But specifically the cat Yzma.
Yes. Yes.
Not old lady Yzma.
Okay. Is that my voice? Right. Is that my
He's supposed to be dead.
Oliver, got an answer yet?
Yes. Okay. Magneto.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, you know, he wanted the same thing that Charles wanted, but he just was going to go about it a different way. So, yeah, Magneto. Right.
Now my eye's on you, buddy, because that was the most villainous thing I've ever heard you say. Like, legit, you know. Like,
he wants the same things as you, Tony.
Yeah. You know, the head of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants? He had some good ideas.
Yeah.
All right, Charlotte, the intern.
Okay, so I was thinking, doing some mulling over, and I think I'm going to land on Mother Gothel.
Ooh.
Not because I'm an evil person, mm-hmm. but because she's clinging to everything that keeps her young. And so am I.
Charlotte would gladly kidnap a girl.
The youngest one at the table, clinging to their youth.
I lie, lean right into that character.
Good answer. Nick, you're a bad guy. Who are you?
I don't know.
Doofenshmirtz.
There you go. Good answer. Solid. Solid. All right. And Wilson Fisk, baby. The Kingpin.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nothing happens
but
without my
any
say-so.
Specific Wilson Fisk?
Yes, the big one.
Also,
bald,
did Nick have a better
one.
Answer?
I was thinking like maybe like the Borg or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Nick will assimilate all of us.
Nick, we're resistance is futile.
Resistance is futile.
Let us know who you would be if you were a bad guy and why. Tell us why, because the why is really the more important part of the story. And you can do that across all of the social medias. Andrew, tell them where they can find us.
Wherever there's people online who love Jesus and nerdy stuff, the Nerd of Godcast is there. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, and YouTube at Nerd of Godcast. Become a supporter of this ministry at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. You can also subscribe to our daily Nerd Devos on your favorite podcast app or on Alexa. Finally, join our online small group, the Nerd of God Squad, on Facebook by going to nogsquad.com. The Nerd of God Squad. Share some memes and live your dreams.
All right, and we would love for you to do just that. But we can't do it until we talk about this matter of business. It's time for the semifinals.
Oh, man.
Ooh. A double trouble best thing
ever.
A double trouble, boil and bubble.
Nefri.
Yeah. Anyway. That's right. We are in the semifinals for the Best Thing Ever Squads edition.
Woo-hoo.
And it's been a tight one.
This
round especially was a nail biter because we had some of the best teams of all time on here. The first matchup we had was the kids from Stranger Things versus the Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay, this is the semifinals.
This is
determining.
Whoever wins this goes to the finals.
The final. Okay.
This result makes me want to cry.
I'm gonna assume it was a landslide.
It was pretty bad. It ended up being with a majority of the vote, the Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
89%.
No, 93-7.
What?
93% voted Fellowship of the Ring.
One person voted for it. And that person was Charlotte.
It was me.
Oh, my goodness. No, there were several that voted for the kids from Stranger Things, but they're all wrong, unfortunately. All right, so the Fellowship is going to the finals.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, so
the next one was much tighter.
Because this is a doubleheader.
This one was 57% to 43%.
Oh.
I don't even remember what I voted for.
It was the Ninja Turtles versus the Ghostbusters.
Oh, this
both the answers
this could
this
go
one's
either way.
So legit.
Like I said, super tight, 57 to 43.
Mm-hmm. Early 90s animation.
Any predictions, you guys?
Ninja Turtles.
I think Ninja Turtles are going to pull through.
I think Ninja Turtles could pull it off.
What is it? Nefri?
It was the Ghostbusters.
Oh. What?
Oh. You better believe it.
That's You're crazy darn right close. It is.
We're ready to believe you. All right, so that means our final round of the best thing ever is
the Ghostbusters
versus
the Fellowship of
that's
the Ring.
Crazy. Oh. Yeah. That's crazy. What a good fight.
It's crazy, but I feel like Lord of the Rings is going to be a landslide.
Yeah. I feel I like, hope yeah, so. In that setup, in that, like, pairing, yeah, I do think that Lord of the Rings is just going to take it.
It's hard to beat the Fellowship.
Yeah. Especially when we have a Christian listening audience.
Yeah, we do.
When you have Sean Bean, it's hard to mess up.
Real.
Especially when his name is spelled the exact same and it's pronounced
Bean.
differently.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
All right, well, where can they vote for that, Quentin?
They can go to our Nerd of God Squad Facebook page and they can vote on who they think should be the
best thing ever.
Absolutely. And I'm blown away. That means that we only have one episode left of this season.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, man.
This season, the Ocho.
Season 8's gone on for 4 years.
Oh,
but.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
They all just kind of blend together for
they,
me.
They yeah. sort of do. They sort of do. Where's EJ been?
Where's Tori?
So I've got a quick game for us tonight. Yeah. And this is going to set up our talk this evening. Now, I'm just going to put this straight out there. I absolutely stole this game from Steven.
Yay. I'm sorry.
So no. So it's a game concept
fun.
That Steven has brought to the show that I'm also aware that Steven stole from the internet. But it's a good idea. So I brought some stuff. If this crosses over with anything that Steven has done in previous episodes, some of these I wrote, some of these I stole from the internet. So so don't judge us if you just know the answer. You can write this down on your boards. Everybody has your boards in hand.
Yes.
And if you have any marker ink left after
sorry.
Sitting I'm sitting next to Charlotte tonight because Lismati is not here. Charlotte's in Lismati's seat. And I am.
Charlotte has ADHD.
Clearly. And she cannot be. She should not have a dry erase marker
ever
next to me because.
She do be doodling.
I will be smelling.
She's doodling. She's sniffing.
I'll be smelling X marks. Charlotte, that is not okay.
I just got to get another sniff. I can quit whenever I want.
That's how middle schoolers get high.
Oh, my goodness. I thought they got.
It was homeschool. They got to do it now.
I thought it was Prime Energy Drink that gets middle schoolers high. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Prime Energy Drink was that around.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a setup for it. This is a game called Bad Stories. And
yes!
I'm going to tell you guys the plot of a movie that's a bad. It's just a bad way to explain it. So
I love
these
games.
It's accurate. But it's just it's incomplete, and you guys can just guess the movie. If you need a hint, I can tell you who was in it, maybe. But hopefully, we won't need a hint.
Can you tell if it was animated or not?
Sure. I don't think.
Where's Liz when
Steven
we need
just
her?
Just accept the rules all as right. they are.
So here we go. 2 90-year-old men fight when one of them can't remember who the other one is. 2 90-year-old men fight when one of them can't remember who the other one is.
Oh, gosh.
Write your answer now. And.
Hold on. Now you have a second. We need a hint.
No, you don't need a hint. You don't have the answer. You don't have it.
He literally just said you can give us a hint.
No.
I'm going by his rules.
Yeah, he said he'd give you a
hint. Jackie said, get it together.
He said he'll give you a hint.
Maybe.
Maybe. Robert Redford is in this movie.
Oh, gosh. You might have just botched my answer. Well, mine's locked in. I'm locking it in.
Yeah, I locked it in.
Well, no.
What?
I thought I had something. I just don't. So.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Boards up. Steven, who you got?
Captain America, when it's over.
Ollie, it's your turn.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I said Enemy Mine.
Question mark.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
It is Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Oh.
Very good. Very, very good. All right, keeping it going. A paranoid billionaire wants tougher immigration policies.
Oh, gosh.
Paranoid billionaire wants tougher immigration policies. And you might have very good arguable answers for this, and if you do, I'll be willing to listen to your case. But if you don't, I'm going to insist that you have my answer.
Steven only wants a hint.
Probably would. But
Jeremy Irons is in this movie.
That means nothing to me.
Oh, dang.
Okay. Show your board, Ollie.
I said Avengers.
Neff.
I said Lion King. Mm.
I have no idea.
Just keeping the question mark going.
Is it Batman?
I too said Batman.
Batman v Superman.
It is Batman versus Superman.
Right.
Dawn of
on.
Justice.
I'm
going to
accept that point for myself.
I'm going to give you guys half a point for Batman, but not a full point. Please.
I picked the wrong Jeremy Irons movie.
Yeah.
There are two movies called Batman.
All right. Four kids come out of the closet.
Four kids come out of the closet.
Yep.
Oh, my.
James McAvoy.
Yeah.
All right. And Neff.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Alexandria.
The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah, that one.
I couldn't finish writing Witch, but yes, that.
The Lion, woo.
The Wait, Lion, no, woo.
It's not The Lion, woo. You're Wong.
Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Wanted.
Wanted?
I'm loving
James
Oliver's
McAvoy
answer.
James McAvoy movie?
Yeah, basically.
Split.
All right,
Split.
It is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Chronicles yes. of Narnia.
That one.
All right.
One point.
A young girl talks to furniture and marries her kidnapper.
Oh, dang it. You had me in the first half.
Josh Gad.
Interesting take.
Boo.
All right. Show me the answer, Alexandria.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Frozen.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Beauty and the Beast.
The Wedding Ringer.
What?
Ollie, please keep this up. I'm loving
Josh
this.
Josh Gad was in The Wedding Ringer.
That's not the game.
Yes!
I'm going to stop giving hints.
Please do.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Hints.
It is Beauty and the Beast.
The Book of Mormon, the Broadway musical.
But only the live action Beauty and the Beast. Unfortunately, we're not taking the animated. Okay, next one. Here we go. A father reunites with his long lost son and wants him to take over the family business.
Okay, this one we might need a hit for.
Oh, I know this one. Oh, that's gonna make me so mad.
Father.
I don't know if this is the right answer, but I can make a case for it.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Baker.
What?
Can he bake anyone?
Baker.
Baker.
I barely know her. All right. Let me see your answer. You got to go quicker. Jackie freaking Wilson.
Got nothing.
Nothing. Charlotte, nothing. Steven?
Nothing. You didn't give me enough time.
There was plenty of time, Steven.
Ollie.
Finding Nemo.
That was my first thought until Family Business came in.
Neff?
Hercules.
Okay.
I also said Finding Nemo.
I didn't
see
that.
Okay.
I don't
Finding Nemo.
For Family Business.
I mean,
there was a father
Nemo
in Finding
was
Nemo.
Lost.
His
father went
business?
To find him.
Justify Hercules.
Hercules was lost when he was taken out of Mount Olympus, and then his father Zeus wanted him to become a god.
I just
That's
figured
good.
Out.
His father's business
I
was staying
I'll
in
you,
the
I'll
anemone.
Give you a half a point for that. No point for Finding Nemo. The correct
can I
answer
guess it?
Is
can I guess it?
Yes, you can.
Is it Thor?
No. It's close though. It's
Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back.
I'll just say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
That's good.
Empire Strikes Back.
So do I get half a point for Finding Nemo or not?
Ooh, Guardians of the Galaxy.
No points for Finding Nemo.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 would have been a good answer.
No, because he didn't want him to take over the business. He wanted to use him. He wanted to use him. Yeah, to as a. Base for his power. Charlotte, you okay over there?
No, I'm falling apart.
You guys didn't know Charlotte's trigger word is Empire Strikes Back.
I just flipped some tables.
All right, we got to keep going here. Main character of this movie is relentlessly bullied and until people act nice to him all of a sudden when they need something.
It's My Life Story.
Main character is relentlessly bullied until people act nice to him when they need something. The hint for this one is it is animated.
Oh, crap.
Until I need something.
Well?
I know this one.
Just for funsies.
This movie is associated with a song. Like a light bulb. Charlotte, the intern.
I got a blank board.
Blank board. Steven.
Since you literally just said lines from the song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Ollie.
Oh,
Teen Wolf the Cartoon.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf the Cartoon.
I love you,
cartoon.
Richie Rich.
Okay.
Shrek.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jackie?
Oh, I got nothing.
It was Rudolph the Red-Nosed
nice.
Reindeer.
That's good.
Like a light bulb.
Yep. I think that I'm going to give you a point for Shrek.
That was me.
I'm going to give you a point for Shrek.
Alexandria.
I think Shrek fits.
That point
Was yeah, Shrek bullied, or did Shrek just?
Yeah,
bully
they came.
Else?
He came with a pitchfork.
Yeah, they came with onions
because he was.
They called him an ogre. You don't know how that hurt his feelings, Stephen.
He was.
There are layers.
Swamp.
All right.
Richie Rich fit.
Two women fight to the death over a pair of shoes.
Bridesmaids.
Write your answers. I'll give you a few seconds here. Two women fight to the death over a pair of shoes.
Nope.
We got a lot more to go, so you guys got to go quicker.
Got it. Cha-Cha's answer is locked in.
We go, Steve-O.
Wizard of Oz.
Ollie.
The Devil Wears Prada.
You're putting so much effort into this.
Oliver, you're the best. You're the best.
And he's the Neff of this game.
Nefri.
Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Right.
I put Dorothy, but Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh. Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz and Dorothy get the point.
Listen, we both
Cinderella
said
gets
Wizard
nothing.
I had written. I had written
Cinderella gets nothing.
Cinderella.
Devil Wears Prada, half point.
Cinderella doesn't find anybody.
Nobody dies.
The stepsisters fight themselves, and technically in the original fairy tale, they cut off their feet. So you know what?
But
close enough.
Can I get a half point?
That's actually good. That's good.
No point. No point.
I think Cinderella deserves
I'm over here
no,
with 2 points.
No, I don't care what you're doing. It's my game.
I have 2 points and a nub. I need an
Me
extra
too.
Point. I need to fill him out. My
nub.
Boy. They mutilated my boy.
A sanitation worker and a botanist force fat people to go for a walk.
Oh my
gosh. That's good.
Please don't give a point for this one.
A sanitation worker and a botanist force fat people to take a walk.
Sorry, I didn't mean a point. Don't give them a hint.
No hint.
No hint.
Jackie has forbidden hints.
This is her game.
That's because Jackie all of a sudden she's like, I know this one.
I know this one. No one gets a guess.
All right. Double Worth Prada.
Oliver, I'm going to save your joke answer for last. Oliver's afraid to make a joke answer because he doesn't want to accidentally
it
get
might
it.
Be real.
Yeah. Neff, what you got?
Wally.
Alexandria.
Wally.
I didn't get anything.
It is Wally.
Oh, yeah, boy.
You got anything?
Yeah, boy.
No, I really didn't get it.
No Ollie, no Wally for Ollie. It was Wally. All right. A puppet tries to convince a son to kill his father.
A puppet tries to convince the puppet's son?
A puppet tries to convince a son, to kill his father.
I said his son.
A puppet tries to convince a son to kill his father.
I know, I feel like I'm going to know this
hint.
One.
To kill his father, the puppet tries to convince.
That hint didn't help.
All right, we are going to start with Alexandria Monica.
Pinocchio.
Good guess. Good guess. How many puppet movies can you name? Right?
Yeah, right? None. Oh.
Jackie,
I got nothing.
Nothing?
I got
question
nothing.
I didn't get anything.
Ollie?
Bride of Chucky.
I did think about making that joke. Thank you for making it.
Go ahead.
I put Pinocchio, but specifically the Roberto Benigni version.
It is.
Benigni.
We are going back and double dipping. Once again, it's Empire Strikes Back.
What? A puppet.
Who's
Palpatine?
Yoda.
Yoda.
Okay.
Yeah,
I even read the question backwards. I said to kill his father.
Yeah,
the
you
puppet.
Did.
But
yeah, you didn't do the inflection. But yeah, that was a good hint. That was a good hint.
The character is not a puppet. It's just played by a puppet.
My dyslexia didn't
puppet.
Help.
I'm not a puppet.
I get it.
I just play one on TV.
I understand it.
Seems just my point.
Got a couple more. We gotta go. Here we go. A man tries to take his ball and goes home, but he can't get a ride.
It's The Empire Strikes Back. The rest of these are just The Empire Strikes Back.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
A man tries to take his ball and go home, but he can't get a ride.
I think
it's
I got it.
One. It's a good one.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
I think I got it.
Jackie freaking Wilson.
Shrek.
Okay.
When in doubt, put Shrek.
Charlotte. Yeah,
I don't know ball, so I put The Sandlot.
Ah. Aww. Steven.
Castaway.
Ollie.
Space Jam, the original.
Uh-huh.
Space Jam.
Castaway.
It is.
Castaway's good.
It's Castaway is the right answer.
Space Jam should get a point.
I did think of Space Jam.
I can't, Michael Jordan. I can't choose Space Jam because it's clearly a joke answer. Because
no.
Ollie put.
No, I genuinely thought it might have been.
Space Jam.
No. The answer.
New legacy.
It's not like
the answer
he's stuck, he can't
was
get home.
Castaway. All right. A young man forcibly binds other men and photographs them for money.
You're a Christian podcast, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving Jeffrey Dahmer.
A young man forcibly binds other men and photographs them for money.
Can we get a hint on this one?
James Franco. Gotta go quick.
Gotta go
quick.
I have an answer.
All right, Charlotte.
I think it's wrong, though, because it's Dave Franco's. Mine was Now You See Me.
No. Steven.
Spider-Man.
Ollie.
I had nothing.
Oh, we're just not going to call on you anymore. Neff.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
It is Spider-Man.
Godspeed. James Spider-Man. Franco was in Spider-Man?
Yeah.
The original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
I got to watch both of those in theaters.
He's the new Goblin.
All right. Here we go.
I haven't been giving myself points. I'm really bad at this.
A group of friends decides to spend less time online.
The Nerd of Godcast Season 9.
A group of friends decides to spend less time online.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Joey yes? Pants.
Oh. Joey Pants?
What a hint.
I love that name.
That's literally the hit that made me think of what it was.
All right. What do we got? Neff.
The Matrix.
Alexandria.
Blank Stares.
Jackie.
No idea.
Charlotte.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Steven.
Yeah, Blank Space, baby, and wrote The Matrix.
It is The Matrix.
Nice.
You didn't even call it Oliver.
I'm not going. He's got a blank board. He's not even trying anymore. Oliver has reached his quotient to funny tonight.
It legit was Joey Pants.
All right. I'm going to skip because we don't have a lot of time here. Guy's wife dies, so he gets high.
I got this one.
What?
Guy's wife dies, so he gets high.
Oh. Yeah, baby.
All right, Charlotte, what do you got?
Up.
Steven?
Up.
Oh, yeah,
wait, that means it's a joke answer, so I put up.
Up.
What is up?
You guys, yeah! That's 100%. Give yourself each 2 points.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I accept.
So if we all get it right, we get extra points?
That's right.
Let's help each other.
What is up?
Public transportation is running ahead of schedule for once. Public transportation is running ahead of schedule for once.
That's good.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I'm lost in the sauce.
Gosh, diddly darn.
I have an answer, but I know it's wrong.
What is cars?
Sandra Bullock.
Okay, nope, it was right. That was my thought.
I want to know what Ollie's answer is.
Eenie, meenie,
I think you got the right
miney, mo, Jackie?
Nothing.
Charlotte?
Nothing.
Alexandria? Question mark. Neff?
Speed.
Ollie?
I actually came up with speed.
Not speed to cruise control, but speed.
Speed is correct.
Wow, look at you guys.
It's a guy
thing. That was my, thank you for confirming
that's
my
a man movie.
It's a movie
it's for
the boys.
Girlies.
You know
I
what?
Said
I'm taller.
Fast and Furious.
Got one, I got time for one more.
Do two more. Do the one you skipped.
FBI agent.
A group spends 9 hours returning jewelry. Group spends 9 hours returning jewelry.
9 hours?
Yep. Put that thing back where it came from, or so help me.
So help me. And cut.
And here we go. Ollie?
Nope.
Neff?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Question mark.
Lord of the Rings.
Nothing.
Lord of the Rings.
It is Lord of the Rings.
That's good. That's really good.
All right. We'll just do two more since I only have two.
In theory, though, the Guardians could have.
Here we go.
What? No.
A rich man devotes his fortune to cosplay and beating up the mentally ill.
Locked and loaded.
Here we go. Charlotte, what you got?
Batman.
Steven?
Batman.
Ollie?
Batman.
Neff?
Batman.
Batman.
There you go. Any Batman movie, you get the idea.
2 points?
2 points.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
thank
boy.
You, Alexander. I forgot about that.
All right, and the final one. And this one's worth 3 points.
If
you get it right. If anybody
winner takes
gets it
all.
Right, 3 points. A boy spends 7 years being the third wheel.
Immediately, yes. This is good.
Oh, it's just, but this is probably a trick question. If it's worth 3 points.
A boy spends 7 years being the third wheel.
You wouldn't dare.
I might. I durst. Here we go. Charlotte, you seem very enthusiastic. What do you got?
Harry Potter.
Steven. Can I go last?
Aww. Okay, Ollie?
Pokemon movie.
Okay.
It was the 7 years for me.
I put the Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. Solid. That I might give a half a point for that. Question mark, Jackie.
I did put anything, but it's got to be Harry Potter.
Steven? I put Return of the Jedi.
Look at you guys, just DPs and hard.
Half a point there. I'm going to give you half a point.
Was it really Harry Potter?
It was really Harry Potter.
So-and-so. Yeah. I thought that was a trick question.
It was really Harry Potter.
Seven years, baby. On my board.
And it was the 7 years. So very, very good. Charlotte, you got three points there. So add up your points right now, and let's see who won. Not Oliver.
Nope.
All right. Neff, what you got, Papa?
12.
Alexandria.
10.
Jackie.
I stopped counting, but I was at 11.
Coming in strong at 10 and a half.
15 and a half.
15 and a half. Charlotte wins.
Congratulations, Charlotte. I'm so proud of you. Yay. It's because she keeps playing these movie games.
I don't care. I just like Charlotte the most.
That's true.
That's fair.
So let's talk about this, you guys. Honestly, have you ever had someone that has tried to tell you a story, or you've heard someone telling a story and you know what really happened and it's killing you because they're so bad at telling the story?
Yeah.
Yes. Conversely, do you know someone who is a really, really good storyteller?
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking at him.
You.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No. Like, listen, like the people that I'm thinking of that are good storytellers, I'm nowhere near their level. I mean, someone that just seems like all of life just happens to them, and everything that happens, this one time I was just, and then everything, like they have a million stories. They've got a million anecdotes.
I mean, I can talk.
I think of a pastor friend of mine.
I was just thinking of it. Justin. Yeah, I was just thinking of Justin.
Because Justin will just tell stories, and you mention anything, and he's like, yeah. And then we were out, and a gator attacked us, and it's like, oh, okay.
No big deal. And like, I was with... You know, Daniel Day-Lewis and the Gator.
I was doing photography, and all of a sudden it was just me and Kanye, and it was no big deal. You know, like
that cow story gets me every time.
Like all of these stories that he has, like
he has just lived such a life.
And it's but I have also heard some of his stories
multiple times.
No, multiple times. I've heard some of his stories that I was actually there for, and when he tells them, what he tells. Is
a dramatized version.
It's the based on a true story.
So that's the way that my grandmother tells stories of when my father was a child. Mm. She really likes to just like go all out. And my dad and my aunt are like, "Were you there?
Were you even there?
What?
Had red hair?
This did not happen."
Embellishment is the art of good storytelling.
Yeah,
right.
It is, period.
So what makes a good story?
A beginning, a middle.
Embellishment.
That's like, what makes a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Peanut butter and jelly.
I give you Lord of the Rings.
Steven has checked the basics. Good job.
So
now, let's build from there.
You got to have a good hook. Something to get you intrigued and want to remain listening to the story.
That's good. It's the hook that brings you back.
For me, it's character development.
That's what I was going to say.
If I can be invested in a person's development and growth throughout the storyline, I'm all for it.
And I said that maybe like if you're watching a show or something like that, but I'm not even talking like, hey, we're going to watch a series of a show. I'm just talking about a story. Mm. Just like that's still good because, you know, if you care about the people that you're hearing about, you are invested. You want to know where this is going to go.
Tagging into that, you care about them because you see a little bit of yourself in them.
Yeah, that's
so that connectivity
and that relatability in a
story.
Well, the ending of a story is also important. And not just talking about like go back movies, but there are movies that like 75% of the movie I was invested in.
Thanks for being with us today. Good night, everybody. See, wouldn't it be frustrating if we just ended the story without an end to your story?
Yes. I just assume you just tried to do that to me in every chance.
No, but
that
you're
was
100%
good.
Right.
You're right.
Because have you ever watched a show that like they end on a cliffhanger and then they don't wrap it up?
Heroes.
Like,
yes.
Heroes. Ended on a cliffhanger and then they canceled the show.
Yeah, yes. Or Pushing Daisies was another one. It was just like, and you can tell that they got, because they just wrapped the show up like real quick at the end and went, oh, by the way, everybody lived happily ever after and this is the end of the story. But it's like, yeah, but what about Stephen Root? What about that character? That was a whole thing that was built up, and we're never going to pay it off. Not all shows get 6 seasons and a movie.
So there was, I never actually saw it, but apparently the '90s Spider-Man cartoon
Mary Jane gets like sent to another dimension,
and that's where they
end. And then it ends.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Oh. So a lot of people are petitioning to bring it back, like X-Men '97.
Yeah,
so
at that point,
closure.
I think one of the things that really draws me to a story is specifically when someone's telling a story, when someone's writing a story, and you can tell that they're really passionate about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like they themselves are invested, which in turn it kind of like makes me lean in, like, oh yeah, like they're really into this, so it makes me want to be really into this.
Absolutely.
Something else that I love about those who are really great at storytelling is that I can almost imagine myself being there.
Right.
So like, I'm a very visual person.
Yes.
And so if you're very good at describing,
I was going like, to say setting the scene.
Setting it up.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, something that comes to my mind, not a real life storyteller that I've ever met, but like the movie Big Fish.
Yeah.
Like way that the dad tells the stories are so like imaginative and descriptive.
Well, some of you guys have had a chance to hear, or if you haven't, maybe you've read his books, but Bob Goff is a great storyteller.
He's a good storyteller.
Because he'll talk about these things, and he's another guy. He's like a Justin Stewart. Like all of these things have happened to him, and the way he'll tell these stories, you're like, oh my goodness, like this is so, like I need to know what happens next, because it just feels like it's like this is happening to us right now. We're in this.
There was a pastor that used to come and speak at our church years and years ago who was one of those guys who he told a story about like a baseball game, like a Little League baseball game.
Yeah, Scott.
That was so like enthralling because pork chop.
And I've heard that story like three times.
And every time I'm excited
I'm still on the edge of my seat going, what's pork chop going
to do? And I think that's a really good sign of a good story is when you can hear it multiple times and still be so invested and pulled in.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite storytellers is, I know we keep going back to the well, but J.R.R. Tolkien. The way he, like, if you've ever read the actual books that The Lord of the Rings is based on.
Lots of descriptors.
The way he talks is like he's sat, like you're sitting by a fireside chat and he's telling you a memory. Like,
yeah.
And I'm with you on that, but I also find that sometimes his strength and his weakness for me, and I love Tolkien, but like I feel like he has so fully realized this world that he knows that like the not just the here's the story of what happens to the hobbits from here to the Misty Mountain, but he knows the gods that created this world, you know, the Iluvatar.
Yeah. He made a language and was like, this language needs a story.
Right. Yeah. So like there's so much background to it. But in that, he also focuses on so much detail that before you get into the story of the Lord of the Rings, you got to find out about all of the proud foots and proud
concerning
feet.
Hobbits.
And, yeah. All of the details, because there's so much lore to the world that it can sometimes weigh you down. It's one of the reasons I have a hard time playing Metal Gear games anymore. But yeah, there's so much. It's so fully realized that you don't feel like you're just dropping into a story. You feel like you're dropping into an actual world. There, I just watched a show. I won't name the show, but they drop you in and let the story go forward as if you're just walking into this thing that's already in progress. And they leave you with questions about the characters. Why is this a particular character called this? Why are they making a reference to this? There's all of these little different things that they don't really tell you what they mean until much, much later on. And then it pays off and you go, oh, I understand. Like, I was just immersed in this. Like when you're listening to other people have a conversation and you're not a part of it, and you hear them using colloquial terms or referring to things, but you don't have
the
context.
Picking up.
Yeah. But it's like when you're in a world that actually exists and lives and breathes. I think really good video games do that. I think that's one of the reasons like Fallout works or Skyrim works. Bethesda is a really, really good at dropping you into an actual living, breathing world.
And then you figure it out on your own.
Yeah, exactly. And you can miss a lot of stuff, but like I love going around the games and you're turning on computer terminals or you're reading notes and you're getting the lore.
Yeah, I was just playing Fallout 4 the other day and I like went to this like building that had a bunch of raiders in it and I cleared it out, and then I went to another building that also had a bunch of raiders and I'm reading this terminal notes and it was all this like back and forth between this raider group versus the other raider group that I already visited. Had no idea they had connection with each other, but they were beefing with each other, and like when I killed all the raiders in one group they were like celebrating at the other one. It was like a bunch of like this like background between these two factions that I didn't even know until I just happened to go through their story.
I think that when someone crafts a story like that and they put those details in it, details, I think can show the reality and the gravity of a different story. And I think if we flip that and we talk about bad storytellers, if you've ever heard somebody that they just can't tell a story, they either kill it with too much detail. This is one of the things that always it murders my soul. When someone goes, oh, let me tell you this great story. We were with some people and it was last Tuesday, or maybe it was last Wednesday. Well, Wednesday I had to go here. I think it was like, dude, is it important to the story? Like, is the day that's on the calendar important to what happens at the end of the story? Then I don't. You're drowning me in detail. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes too much or not enough. If it's hazy, bad storytellers can overtell stories. They can undertell stories. I hate it when someone's trying to tell me a story and I bust Jackie on this all the time.
Yes,
I love Jackie with all my heart. But Jackie lives in this immersed ecosystem mm-hmm. of her coworkers.
Yep.
And sometimes she'll be like, oh, we were doing a PPE with Bob and Bob came by and he was like, nope, you have to do the TRLs on that. I'm like, I don't know what those things you just can.
He definitely made up all of those words.
Yeah,
but no, the same vein of and this lingo.
This is good. I'm going, Jackie, all of this is your everyday life, but I don't know the shop talk. You got to unpack this. I need like a little guide here. So Jackie has printed out a PDF for me of all
the
different
terms.
Show notes.
It's an Excel spreadsheet.
That's what it is. So, but sometimes people will lose you with too much detail, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes if people don't fully understand the story, like they either like maybe don't have a full understanding of it, and they try to like glaze over some things. Like, oh, this thing happened. What happened? Oh, I don't really know. You're not giving me enough information. Little kids will do this all the time. You know, that when they try to tell you something and they have missing information. I think that this irritates women. I'm looking at you, ladies. Men, and again, I'm just going to be typical here, but it's like, so how was your day? It was good. Oh, well, what happened?
I don't know.
Went with Oliver, hung out. What'd you guys do? Stuff. It's like, what? Like, but right, women.
What did you have to eat?
That's right. Women like, want details. Who
how
did you
miles
go?
Did you were you?
Right.
Did you meet anybody cool?
It's frustrating for, like, I think some people when they want to hear, like, well, what are the details? Like, yeah, I don't know, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes stories will focus on the wrong thing. Sometimes when you like I'm going to tell you the story and then you start rabbit trailing. Stephen does that sometimes, you know, like Steve, but it's his diagnosed ADD. Right?
I do that too.
Diagnosed and medicated.
And medicated. where we'll start a story here, but then we're going to end up all the way the crap over there.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there eventually.
It's going to take a few pit stops.
Yeah,
I have to give you background context and give you all the other little details, but we'll get to the ending eventually.
It's just the taking the scenic route.
It's like taking the tour at the Alamo. It's like, please hold all questions until the end.
You can.
Where are we gonna get to the basement? There's no basement at the Alamo.
My favorite bit.
Should have led with that, Stephen. Have you ever encountered a story, whether it's in media or in real life, that was a poorly told story that misrepresented the intended message? Jackie is shaking her fist.
Literally fuming.
I have talked about this before a few times on the podcast, but were you done with your question?
No,
I'm sorry.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was a huge fan of the Aragon series in middle school and high school, and when they came out with the movie, I was filled with so much rage with the misrepresentation and the jumps that they took.
Preach, sister.
And I could do an entire TED talk talking about everything they did wrong in that movie.
Yes.
And it had Jeremy Irons in it.
Well, so did the original Dungeons and Dragons movie. Jeremy Irons gives nobody a pass.
Let's talk about the original Avatar movie.
Dude, we don't speak about
James
that.
Cameron has no idea how to tell a
Avatar,
story.
The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
So was it that it missed content? Was it that it missed the spirit of the story? What was it?
Both.
Yeah, it was just a lot of, I mean, the show. The show is so well done. How did you have that access to so much content?
It's still missed.
It's not like you were making something up. Like, you actually had something to 100% go by.
It's right. Ong.
Yeah. And Sokka, and
oh my gosh, and the casting, and
it was garbage.
Oh, and the fact that in the movie they needed a fire source to be able to fire bend, but in the cartoon they could just create the fire.
It was like, just there. Yeah.
Why?
And the earthbenders were so slow.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And you needed like 10 of them to move a stone.
So I think that we have found a good example.
Yes.
Of stories that you know maybe weren't told right. And when we care about something, when we care about, like, you got to get it right. This is something that fans get super toxic about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's not what this guy, that was the reason that I had a bug in my biscuit about Ghostbusters, the Frozen Empire, because I didn't feel like they were telling this, like, they didn't get the characters right. You know, like, right. I care about it. That's my, Star Wars fans are arguably the worst about
this. Oh, yeah.
Marvel fans are getting there.
Marvel, well, you know.
Because original trilogy people don't like the prequels. Prequel people don't like the sequels.
Well, I think,
I don't think anyone likes the sequels.
I
love the sequels.
You can like them all, but then when they do bad stories are bad stories. But that's the thing. It's like we all feel like we have ownership of the story. So this is my question. When we have a story that we live by as believers, when we have a story which is the gospel, which is the story of Jesus, which is the story of creation and the fall and this process by which God brings redemption to us of sacrifice and resurrection and restoration, there is a gospel story, a good news story. God reveals himself to us through a book, through literature, through not only the law, but also the story of people's lives and how they encounter that law, live out that law, that relationship, that word of God, the walk of faith. In looking forward to Jesus and then following after Jesus, when we are charged with being the tellers of that tale, with being the bearers of that story, I think that we have to put the same scrutiny on ourselves that we put on the storytellers. We become the M. Night Shyamalans of the gospel. One day you don't want God to say, "You've been mispronouncing my name this whole time. You've been
actually pronounced Judd.
You were supposed to." It's not what I meant, but that's hilarious.
Not about the entity behind it, but the pronunciation, I don't care for John.
It was Ian the whole time.
I don't care for John. No.
Sorry.
Not like that, but if we miss the spirit of it, you know, we can sit there and we can come in the name of Jesus, right, and say, hey, this is us. We're Christians, right? This is what we're doing. And then God says, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the story that is being told. Do we represent the source material?
Are we
good storytellers of the gospel of Jesus, or are we messing this thing up or trying to put our own unique Ryan Johnson spin on it?
I was actually just listening to a podcast on my drive here about the original meaning of the word hypocrite.
Uh-huh.
And they use the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount he's explaining that there are these people who, the religious leaders, they give to the poor, they pray, and they fast. They're doing all of the right things with the wrong intention.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, that's the meaning of hypocrite biblically. So there are people who can look the part and do the part. But what's
but if
your
their
intention?
Heart's not in it?
Mm-hmm.
But
I thought you were making it because I literally preached on that this morning.
No.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, Sanctuary Church Longwood.
Yeah.
No, it's the Bible Project. Yeah. They're going through this series on the Sermon on the Mount right now, and that's just where I happened to land.
That's cool.
This
that's
week.
Really
but
cool.
It is. It's so interesting because outwardly we can look like we're doing the right thing,
right,
but only God is going to know the intention of our heart.
We can have all the characters, we can have all of the scenes, we can have all the sets, but then we can mess up the stories. I don't know if I told you guys this. I'm reading a book called Splinter in the Mind's Eye, I think it's called. And it was the first Star Wars novel, and it was written after A New Hope came out, but before Empire Strikes Back came out. And because of that, they have all of the characters. They have all of the settings. It is in a galaxy far, far away, but they don't have the story. So there's still like a lot of romantic tension between Luke and Leia.
Yeesh.
We don't know that Vader is Luke's father yet. Like, there's all
he
of the
George Lucas.
That's what's there. There's all this stuff that shows that this is where this universe, this is where the galaxy far, far away was at that point.
Yeah.
And they had all of the sets and all of the stuff, the elements there for a Star Wars story, but they didn't have the plot in order. Like, it's completely unusable now, right?
Yeah.
And what I would hate to see happen is for us to be followers of Jesus and say, look, man, we got all this stuff right. We go to church and we sing the right songs and we do the right things and we eat Chick-fil-A like the Lord tells us to do.
Just not on Sunday.
We've got all of the set pieces, right? We've got all the props, but we completely misused them and missed the plot.
That's so good.
I don't want to have the props and not the plot, you know?
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just, I just got it. I just got it.
I have, like, my own little, like, for lack of a better phrase, like my own like Bible fan fiction sort of thing, taking something a little bit out of context. But in Corinthians 13, where it's talking of, it's the love chapter, and he's like, yep. I could you know, prophesy, I could do all these things, but if I don't have love, it's just a clanging gong or
making noise,
a loud cymbal.
Yeah.
And I go back to when Jesus was talking to the people, and he's like, you know, I'm the lambs and the sheep and the goats, and how he's going to look at one group like, you know, you, for paraphrasing here, like, you guys did good, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant, all this stuff. And then these people's like, hey, we did this and we did that, like, why can't we enter? And he's like, well, you didn't do these things either, like, when I was naked, you didn't give me clothes, when I was hungry, you didn't give me food, like, whatever you do to the least of these. And I've always interpreted those two together for some reason, that the other people were just doing the thing to do the thing, but there was no love behind it.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're trying to bring your case to Jesus, so to speak, and all he can hear is the noise because there's no love, you know, you're not telling the right story.
I think that the Sermon on the Mount is a great illustration of that, because Jesus is drawing a clear divide between the people who are doing the things but missing the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
My heart goes to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is what God says. He says, you are our epistle, which is a letter. Mm-hmm. You are the story written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart.
Yeah.
God is trying to tell a story to this world, and we are the purveyors of that story. So I just want to challenge you to be a good storyteller, to keep the main idea of the story, you know, to not lose the plot, to not have missing information, to pay attention to the important details, to not focus on the wrong parts of it, but always to focus on the right parts of it. Because there is an important story that's not to entertain, not to amuse, and not to distract, not even to inspire, but to bring freedom and bring life, to bring light into the darkness. And that is the gospel of Jesus. And we are the bearers of that story. We are the representation of that story. And it's very important. The world needs it now more than ever. And it is our job and our responsibility to communicate that. And with that, we are out of time for tonight. I just want to say thank you guys so much for sitting around the table, sharing this conversation with us. I have had a great time with you guys, and I'm excited now because I'm just reaching the point where I'm hungry enough that we're going to go have some Korean barbecue tonight,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, we are. Ow, ow.
So that's the story that I'm going to be telling, but I just want to say thank you guys all so much. Next episode is our final episode of season 8.
Man,
the
Ocho.
And we're going to place bets right now on whether Alexandria is going to be able to come back for us. It is a rare and delightful thing to have you in our company, Miss America.
My queen.
Okay. Well, for all of us here at the Nerd of Godcast, thank you so much for listening. If you are listening on a podcast platform that lets you review, please say some nice things about us and leave us some stars. We love it when they come in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s. If you want to be part of the financial blessing of the Nerd of Godcast, visit us at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. That's patreon.com. And we're going to give a big shout out next week to all of our Patreon sponsors and show them some love. So there's still time. Get on there. And we'll give you a big shout out. So thank you so much for all of us at the Nerdy Godcast. Steve-O Supremo.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Jamaican Ollie.
Yeah, man.
The big man, Quentin Gregory Neff.
Good night.
Alexandria Marica.
Bye, friends.
Jackie freaking Wilson.
Bye.
Charlotte the intern.
Thank you, my babies.
And Nick the engineer.
Goodbye.
I'm Tony T. Until next time, we ain't gots to go home.
But we can't stay here.
In the box, ready to go.
Here we go.
We be fast and they be slow.
Oh.
Ghostbusters need to win.
Yeah, going to. I'm sorry.